I want to say it's a joy to be here, and anytime you travel 7 hours with four kids in the car, it's a joy to get anywhere. I'm certainly glad to be here, and I want you to know that I am somewhat humble to follow David Harris. Didn't he do just a powerful job? David was a deacon in Rising Star when I was preaching there, and I was so glad when I found out that he went on to full-time preach. And I know last hour you heard David, and I've heard it said sometimes you get the chicken, sometimes you get the feathers. Well, you've had the chicken. I guess you're going to get the feathers this hour. But it's certainly good. David, I'm bragging on you. You're going to have to pay me like I said. All right. This subject, Satan Worship Examine, I'm proud to be able to be here and present this subject, but I have to tell you that studying it was a beating. There are some things about it that are very dark, some things that are very difficult, and some things that just don't make much sense. And one of the problems with it is it's hard to find an authoritative source. David talked about the Satanic Bible, and there are other sources you can go to, but there aren't really any central authoritative sources, and many of those folks disagree. It's kind of like trying to grab a greasy pig. You just have a hard time finding the right sources to go to get accurate information. I have lots of information in the book. I have lots of quotes from different places, but they don't all agree. So you just kind of have to try and put them together the best way you can. And in fact, in the book, there is a very elongated satanic worship ritual and rite, and it has a song in it, and it has you stand this way and say this and turn 90 degrees and say that to the west, and you pray this prayer to Satan and all that kind of thing. And but even that's not authoritative. That's just an example of how one Satan worshiper chose to let others know how he does it and encourages others to do it. So we're going to talk about some things that we can know, I suppose, because of general consensus, but it's not always going to be easy to get to the truth on this. One thing that I found that most helpful to me, in fact, it was the most pleasant part of my study, was coming across a small group of Satan worshipers that were dyslexic. They kept trying to sell their souls to Santa. Maybe you've heard that. See, maybe you've heard that already this week, but I ran across that, and I just, that's going to be the bright spot of the lesson, folks, I'm afraid, right there. One of the biggest lies the devil could tell, most beneficial to him, would be simply that he doesn't exist. And it is the case that when you examine Satan worshipers, not all of them worship Satan. Can you believe such a thing? There's actually at least two distinct groups. Those that are called theistic Satan worshipers, those are the ones who actually believe in a being called the devil, and those who, well, see, Satan worship is just a general philosophy of do what you want to do, and David covered quite a bit of that. So not all Satan worshipers even believe in Satan. Isn't that something? They still call themselves Satan worshipers. In fact, one quote, and again, all these are in the book. I'm just going to hit a few of them and parts of those, even the ones that are longer. But it said that devil worshipers, now this is, of course, by those who are not theistic Satan worshipers, those who just worship Satan as a philosophy of life, isn't that grand? They say devil worshipers are nothing more than wannabe renegade Christians still drowning in the belief that to be a Satanist, they must use dogma that is the reverse of Christian belief. He goes on to say that we Satanists, we are the free thinkers. Isn't that something? It's kind of making it sound like there are the hippie Satan worshipers who don't really believe in anything, and they're the guys with the white hats, and then there are those who actually believe in Satan as a person and a being, and those are the bad guys. Those guys are just bound in dogma and are renegade wannabe Christians. Listen, from what I've read about this Satan worship stuff, those folks are not renegade wannabe Christians in any form of the imagination. They are just not. They reject God in about every way you possibly can. They just believe, actually, that Satan exists, which is what the Bible tells us, that Satan's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's a real being who wants to do nothing more than murder, rape, and kill, and destroy our souls in hell forever. That's what the devil wants. Now, being is that there are some Satan worshipers who believe in the devil, and some that, well, some that just don't at all, it seems like that we could call this a delusion, or we could call it a purposeful untruth to just kind of muddy the waters, and that may be, but it seems to be a consistent message. And even among those who claim to be Satan worshipers, the general view of the population of our country, and I guess the world, is this. There are some who see Satan worshipers like these murdering molesters who are hiding behind every bush. And you have that view really popularized by the Geraldo Rivera specials of the 80s. Anybody remember those? The ones who did on Satan worship and how there were just people waiting to mutilate you behind every, again, behind every bush, behind, around every corner. And then there's the other view of Satan worship that says, well, really, it's just a bunch of kids who were just hanging around graveyards kicking over gravestones. Well, I guess there are some who do that. I guess there are kids who are just trying to be rebellious and not really know what they're doing and do that. But the fact is, the truth is somewhere in the middle, I suppose, as is often the case, especially when you don't have a central point where you can go and say this is exactly what's going on. Well, again, who are these Satan worshipers? There's much confusion about it, as I've already told you. But if you think about it, isn't that the way the devil would want it? Confusing. Our Lord said that the world would believe that he was sent and that he is the Savior of mankind if there is unity among his believers, John 17:21. Now, we know that God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14 tells us. So if non-confusion and clarity of message, going back to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2, where God told the prophet, make it so plain that those that run by can read it, and that is the goal of gospel preachers and of Christians, to make God's message so plain it's hard to misunderstand it. If that's what we're to be doing, then it makes sense that those who follow the devil would use every kind of confusing thing they could find to muddy the waters. Isn't that right? Makes perfect sense. If God wants it clear so you can have unity, the devil will want it confusing so you have a hard time figuring things out. And I'm reminded of what Samuel Clemens once said. He said it wasn't the parts of the Bible that he didn't understand that bothered him. It was the parts that he did. And most of us, I suppose, are like that. Just the parts we do understand that challenge us the most. But it's true there's some confusion when it comes to devil worshipers. In fact, one quote said this, and I love this, when it says, whether we believe in or worship the old dragon or not is inconsequential to him. In fact, it serves his purposes all the more smoothly if we do not. Some of us just can't help ourselves. Well, again, you're not going to find an inspired source to find that kind of material. But among those that believe in him, there is that whether he actually exists or not kind of thing. Now, I found one site that on the World Wide Web, and many of the sources I used were actually from the World Wide Web, tried to find those websites that seemed to be more legitimate and have more information. But one site who was trying to defend satanic worship said that there were many types of pseudo-Satanism. These are the folks that say they're Satan worshipers, but real Satan worshipers say that they're not. Now, again, this is a place where they're trying to defend and say Satan worship isn't a bad thing, it's actually a good thing. Now, when you come across this, there are a number of groups. One, of course, they say these are false Satan worshipers. They aren't the true deal. Well, are those that they're branded the 16th century Satanism followers? You might think of them more as the goth kind of people who go around and dress in dark clothes and held back to a time of witches and wizards. Again, for some reason, the 16th century is mentioned there. Kind of a medieval feel to it. And they say, oh, that's just fake. They're just trying to be rebellious. Well, then you have those who, and this is actually a class they mentioned on the website, were the false group of Satan worshipers that were serial murderers. There's a group that is serial murderers. Oh, but they're not Satan worshipers at all. They use the devil made me do it defense, you see. And they might say that, and they might try and push that in a court of law, but they're not really Satan worshipers. Then there are those who are the third category, the psychotic murderers. Different group of murderers entirely. These aren't the serial ones. These are the psychotic ones. And these are the ones that you find evidence at the crime scene of satanic rituals and symbols and those kinds of things that are used in the murders. But Satan worshipers say, well, they just are really severely mentally ill, and they're not really Satan worshipers. That's kind of convenient, isn't it? I mean, after all, I would play that down too, wouldn't you? If I were a Satan worshiper and someone got caught with all these relics and all these things at a murder scene and they claimed it was of Satan, I'd say, well, they're just mentally ill. They're not really Satan worshipers. I would play down the fact that Charles Manson, as dragged from the courtroom, said, "Hail Satan!" I would downplay that too. But after all, can we really trust these folks? If they worship the one who is the father of lies, are they going to tell the truth? No! If they are for that and pro that, they will say anything they possibly can to distort the truth. So we will think, well, it doesn't really exist. It's just some kids kicking over some gravestones out late night at a cemetery. Again, there's some of that goes on, but these groups that say don't exist is kind of funny to me. Then they say, and this is sad, there are the child molester false Satanists, and they just use satanic symbols and rites in their child molesting to intimidate the children so they won't speak out. Well, that just makes you angry just to think about it. Oh no, people who would do any harm, they cannot be Satan worshipers. Then there's the fifth group, they call the heavy metal rock bands. Well, I don't think that's quite as popular as it used to be to have the rock bands associated with Satan worship. You do see some of it today and in some cases, but they say that's false, that's just for selling records. And I think largely that may be true. I don't know for sure. But, you know, if someone is giving a destructive message and it worships the devil, well, stay away from it regardless, I suppose. Then there's the group they call the Temple of Set. Set. They claim that Set was the Egyptian pagan god Set, who eventually evolved into Satan. You see, they don't believe in a literal Satan, so they're going to say that it all evolved over time from different ideas, and you had the Egyptian god Set, who was the first one, and then Christians came along later and just kind of made up Satan from Set. And again, that's just what they claim. Now, again, if the devil is the father of lies, how are we going to separate the truth from the error? Well, it's somewhat difficult to do that. Again, it's like trying to grab a greasy pig. I'm not going to tell you I came up with any definitive information about this, but I do know that great claims have been made about what Satan worship is. And again, if you have an individual who claims to be a Satan worshiper, who does these despicable acts, and then others say, well, no, they're not really Satan worshipers. You ought to ignore that. That's kind of like speaking with individuals. That's like speaking to a Baptist preacher about once saved, always saved. And you may point out to him, well, wasn't the Smith family, weren't they faithful Baptist people? And now they've gone into the world. And they're doing all kinds of things which you say are worldly and wrong, and the Bible says it's sinful. And what does the Baptist preacher say? What's his out every time? Oh, they were never really saved in the first place. Isn't that convenient? While they were given money and they were attending services, they were saved. But whenever they go off and do things that are not beneficial to that group, they say, oh, they were never really part of us in the first place. You have that thing going on when it comes to worshipers of Satan. Someone goes off in left field, gets some publicity for some very heinous acts. Oh no, they were mentally ill. They were never part of the Church of Satan or Satan worshipers in any way. Well, the fact is, Satan worshipers do exist. And that's what we have to dwell on and focus on. And while it may not always be easy to say, was Charles Manson really a Satan worshiper, or was he just using that to do evil? I don't know, and I don't care. I know that Satan worship exists. I know there are certain marks of it you find among those that do that. But listen, my soul's not going to depend on whether Charles Manson was really a Satan worshiper or not. Just the fact he did those things in the name of Satan should be enough to scare us, and or at least for us to notice. Now, Satan worship takes place. The fact is, the devil wants to be worshipped. He always has. And we can go back to what the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, remember, Christ is being tempted by the devil. And in verse 8 it says, the devil takes him to an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and says unto him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. worship me. Then says Jesus unto him, get thee hence behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him thou shalt serve. The devil wants to be worshipped. He wants to be lifted up as the item to be adored. The devil wants that. He always has. Now, it seems interesting to me, though, that the way in which Satan tried to get this worship from Jesus, and it's the same way he tries to get us to worship him today in many cases. What did the devil do to Jesus? What the devil did to Jesus was he tried to offer him something that was already his. By right of the creation of the world, Jesus could claim ownership over everything. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. It's true, he was came to this world submissively to die on the cross, and he was on a mission from the Father. But still, he was part of that creative force. Without him, was not anything made that was made, John chapter 1 tells us. So it was already his. But isn't that what the devil does to us today? Think, if you would, of, well, the sin of sexual immorality. Now, what does God say about human sexuality? God gave it to us as a gift. He lets us, he encourages us to experience that in the confines of marriage, where not only our physical desires are met, but our emotional needs are met as well. And if we follow God's plan, lives are not destroyed, children are not emotionally scarred, diseases are not spread in that fashion, sexual intimacy is not cheapened, and society is strengthened through family. But what's the devil do? The devil takes that which we can already enjoy according to God's plan, and he wiggles it in front of us. And what's happened? Folks go ahead and they see the wiggle of the worm but not the hurt of the hook, and they bite. And a great deal of damage is done in the process. Families are destroyed. Lives are just torn up. How many families do you know? How many families do you know, even in the church, whose children have hardly any idea what a normal, godly family should be like because the parents are divorced, because one or the other of the parents went off and, well, committed fornication or adultery? It happens all the time, even in the church. And families are hurt by it, and you're going to have kids raised up not even being having a hard time being able to trust anybody because of what they saw their parents do. The point is, most of the sins that we face are Satan wanting us to use instant gratification to get something that God has already offered in an authorized way. Why do people lie, cheat, and steal? To get those things, to have a shortcut to them that God's already said we can have in most cases if we will but be patient. How many times in the church do you see fights among brethren over just a matter of not being patient enough? Well, the church is going to do this or do that, and someone says, I want it right now, and you get in a fight back and forth, and before long, you have brethren not wanting to sit in the same pew at church because of just, I want my way and they want theirs. Instant gratification. If we can just do it God's way, it'll work out. But that's how Satan tried to get Jesus to worship him, and I think it's the same way today. You might say, well, no, Jim, if someone goes off and commits adultery, they don't start worshiping Satan. Well, they may not don a robe or go into a satanic ritual, but I know one thing, they're not putting God where they should be. And Colossians 3:5 says that anything that we put before God in a sinful fashion is idolatry. It sure is a kind of Satan worship, even though if it's not a lust ritual or a compassion ritual or a destruction ritual that David talked about moments ago. It still is dangerous, still is bad. Putting anything before God in our lives is something that we just cannot do. Well, then what's the Bible say about Satan worship? The Bible says don't do it. That's pretty much, you can sum it up right there. If Jesus is our example and Jesus rebuffed Satan, then we are to rebuff him as well. And again, in Matthew 4:10, it says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Which brings us to another point, and that is this. The devil does not have to get us to go to church and renounce God and then get on the robe and the black candlestick and the upside down crucifix and chant and pray. He doesn't have to do that to keep us from heaven. All the devil has to do, friends, is distract us. That's all he has to do. He has to get us to think of something else that we, one, by inch, put before God, where we're not worshiping God and serving God to the best of our ability, where we're not seeking the kingdom of God first, where we're not loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and he's got us. And I'm standing before you as a gospel preacher to say, that's hard to avoid sometimes. How many of you here that are preachers and you get wrapped up in church business and taking care of things for the Lord, and sometimes you forget to study like you should or pray like you should because you're involved in other stuff? Why is distraction? All the devil has to do is get us looking somewhere else, and before long, we're not serving God as we should. And if we don't come back around, it could cost us our soul if we don't repent of it. And I got to tell you, I struggle with that way too much. All the devil has to do is distract us. And that's what the devil's trying to do with Jesus, is trying to get him to put anything else before the God of heaven. The fact is, and I know this is a sermon theme that could go on and be said far apart from the subject of Satan worship. But the fact is, we are not people who should make room in our life for Christianity. But we should take our Christianity and make room in it for our life. And that should be our goal and our focus, is to put Christianity first, no matter what, and not be distracted by what the devil has for us. Now, what are some of the acts of Satan worship? What are some of the dastardly deeds that Satan worshipers get into? Well, I'm here to tell you, you can read the book for a lot of it, because a lot of it's just disgusting and embarrassing, and that's not appropriate to read in a mixed audience. But there are a few things we'll talk about. One thing that was mentioned before was the Black Mass, which is just a mockery of Catholic Mass. Now, again, the reason I think that this is done is because it's assumed that Catholicism is Christianity. So if we can mock Catholicism, we're mocking Christianity. Well, they don't know the difference. Catholicism is not New Testament Christianity. From its inception, it wasn't, with all the rites and rituals that came about from when you have the distinction between what was the universal church and turning into the Catholic Church. But they do that as a way, and they will steal emblems from the Catholic Church, and they will say prayers, and much of it, not all of it, but it is largely a sexual thing, where there will be sacrifices. It was said at one time there were human sacrifices. Anton LaVey went so far as to say that, you know, it wouldn't be prudent to use those, although he wasn't completely against it. But much of it now, many of the sacrifices are sexual in nature, and the way the dress is done is very sexual in nature. And of course, you had the lust rituals mentioned, and that's, of course, very sexual in nature. So you have all those things, and the details are in the book about it. But I want to make this point. Some of these Satan worshipers act as if they are free thinkers and want to break the bonds of rules and regulations. But if you read through the worship service that I put in the book, that is a Satan worship ritual, it makes a Catholic Mass look like a Pentecostal revival. It is horrible in how they go through it, and step by step, it's not spontaneous at all. It's very regulated. It just seems odd that they fancy themselves as being these free thinkers who want to bust out and do all these fresh things, and they have such these rigid things that they feel like they have to follow. Again, there is a distinctive dress that they wear. There's a particular time that they do it. There are certain emblems that they are supposed to have, certain colored candles and whatnot. They have to face the right way at the right time, and they have to quote stuff that, well, is just made up by them that they think's honoring Satan. And I suppose I do want to say that we made a distinction at the beginning between theistic Satanists and the free thinkers that weren't. I suppose this is probably applying to the theistic ones, but nonetheless, it's an act of Satan worship. Now, do you have this kind of nonsense going on today? Well, it appears that you do. It appears that you have the Church of Satan. You have, by the way, the offshoots from the Church of Satan, because there are many who thought that Anton LaVey left the true path. You know, the head of the Church of Satan in San Francisco. So you have the first Church of Satan. You have several others that have sprouted up, saying that they are the true one. They are the right one. And the Church of Satan in San Francisco is Well, it just, you know, it lost its way. They just didn't follow Satan closely enough. And so they're no longer the true church of Satan. You have that kind of thing going on, even among those folks. Isn't that funny? They claim to oppose everything that Christianity they think is, and they mock how you have so many different churches, and they have that too. Of course, we know that denominationalism is not Christianity. There is the church of our Lord, and that is the church of the New Testament. We understand that. But from their perspective, they're mocking Christianity, what they think is Christianity, and they're doing the same things. Is there devil worship today? Well, again, many deny it. They say, no, you know those crazy people who kill folks, or those people who did an animal sacrifice and took little Fluffy and carved him up on the altar somewhere. No, that's not real. That's not real Satanism. And I can't say if it is or it isn't, to be honest. I really don't. But I can tell you this. I can report to you, and in the book is a list of things that there has been found evidence for of satanic emblems around and deeds that were done that were claimed by others to be Satan worship. I'm not going to read them all to you, but let's look at a couple of these things. Violent sexuality, ritual sacrifice of animals and or people. Cannibalism, including forced cannibalism. Keeping, it's bad, but it's funny. Keeping people naked in snake-filled cages. Isn't that the most bizarre thing you ever heard of? They would have to bury me in the ground if they tried that with me. I think I'd probably die of a heart attack. Inflicting spider bites. Going to the bathroom on somebody else. We'll just leave it at that. Crucifixion, electric shock, chemical injections, forced use of drugs, sleep deprivation, using sensory deprivation tanks, black masses, mock marriages, forced pregnancy. Isn't that just ridiculously disgusting? Of course, use of pornography, brainwashing, kidnapping, sexual abuse, murder, necrophilia, rape. All those kinds of things have been reported by others to have taken place in satanic worship rituals. And again, you can get more detail on that if you want to, but I hope you don't want to. It's just some vile, ridiculous stuff. Now, why is it that men worship Satan? Why would you want to? Now, there's some of you in this audience this morning that are far wiser and smarter than me. You come up with a whole plethora of ideas about that, but I came up with basically three. One, simply to mock Christianity. Two, hedonism, anything to please the flesh. And three, just to simply reject any kind of authority. Now, you don't have to go very far. In fact, you can go home or to your hotel this afternoon or this evening and turn on your TV and see evidence that there are people who do anything they can to mock Christianity. If they can make fun of it, if they can mock it, they will. How many TV shows have you seen where you thought was going to be a good, wholesome show, and somehow they come out with a joke or a crack against God or faith or church? It's getting tough to be able to watch TV anymore. I guess you can watch the Weather Channel. I guess you can watch that. Maybe Discovery Channel sometimes. But so much is done to mocking Christianity. And friends, why do people worship Satan? Simply to mock truth, to mock it. Another reason, hedonism, the idea of I just want to please the flesh. Again, the things we read a while ago that are part of Satan worship and how ridiculous and disgusting they are, a lot of that is just about doing what I want to do to belittle or hurt somebody else. I want my way. I want it now, and I don't care who gets in my way. Hedonism. In fact, if you were to read through the nine principles of, or rather the nine satanic statements, and I want to read through a couple of these, and you tell me if this doesn't fit the hedonistic idea. If you want to do what you want to do and have every fleshly desire, and you want to try Satanism, because these are the things that it stands for. Number one, Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence. That sounds kind of hedonistic, doesn't it? Number two, Satan represents vital existence instead of spiritual pipe dreams. Don't follow those pipe dreams, follow the devil. Number three, Satan represents undefiled wisdom instead of hypocritical self-deceit. Four, Satan represents kindness to those who deserve it instead of love wasted on ingrates. You don't follow the golden rule. Don't do that. Don't have principles in your life. Do what you want to do. Number five, Satan represents vengeance instead of turning the other cheek. No self-restraint. Hit them. Smash them back. Do whatever you want to do in vengeance. Number six, Satan represents responsibility to the responsible instead of concern for psychic vampires. Number seven, Satan represents man as just another animal, sometimes better, sometimes worse than those that are on all fours. Again, follow your desires, follow your instincts. Number eight, Satan represents all the so-called sins as they all lead to physical, mental, or emotional gratification. You know, I once said, and I joke sometimes, I was born and raised in the Southern Baptist Church. And I said, boy, if I was going to pick my religion, it'd be that one, because you have once saved, always saved, right? Do whatever you want. Once you get in the church, do what you want to do. In fact, I kid sometimes and tell people, I'm a gospel preacher and a recovering Baptist. I tell you, sometimes you get that stuff, you get those kind of thoughts in you, and it's hard sometimes. You see them coming back at you. But if I had to pick a religion that could do whatever I wanted to do, I'm afraid it would be this one. Why not? If you're a young person and you hear the hypocrisy preached in denominational pulpits that say live right and do right, but it doesn't matter if you do or not, because once saved, always saved, the hypocrisy of that message, why wouldn't you choose the church of Satan? Why wouldn't you? Well, at least they're not being hypocritical about it. They're being straight about it. Do whatever you want to do for emotional, physical, or mental gratification. Number nine, Satan has been the best friend of the church he has ever had, as he's kept it in business all these years. Again, of all the things we just mentioned, mocking Christianity, hedonism, or just rejecting authority in general, of those nine things, don't those three things just stand out? How many people just would choose Satanism because they want to reject any kind of rule or authority? Well, hopefully not most folks, but there are some that would. Concerning the modern state of Satan worship, there was one quote I was able to find, and it said, self-fulfillment, self-indulgence, and self-gratification are the goals of the contemporary Satanists. And you might not be too surprised. Oh, I've got all these lights on here. They just, boom, they all went on at once. I'll close with this. It might not surprise you that the Satanists don't believe in rules. In fact, there's a quote in the book about the relative ethics they believe. And they say the definition of good and evil is subject to change because it exists only as one perception is good and one perception is bad. And they talk about if you're a mouse, a cat is bad. But if you're a cat, a mouse is good, I think. They do some confusing things. They're basically, they say whatever you think is right. But I want to leave us with this. Listen, we talk about how obvious and evil some of these acts of Satan worship are. And it's some bad stuff. And we're told not to be ignorant of Satan and his devices, but I want to caution you before you study too much about this, you might lose your appetite. But you don't have to be a Satan worshiper, one who actively goes out and dresses in the robes and does all those things, to spend eternity with the devil and his angels. All we have to do, again, is be distracted and put something else before God. I hope this lesson has helped you this morning. Thank you.